So I just want to encourage us a little bit today that this God these people are talking about is the same God you pray to. Same environment. This God can lead you to open people. This God can deepen your walk with God. This God can help you win a team, a game. I mean, an Atlanta team winning an American game. I mean, who knows? There's no snout here, but they're still winning anyway. You know, so God can do that stuff. God can get you money when you're looking, man, how am I going to do my missions? God's going to provide that money if you start praying about it. But really, I want to talk about prayer because I think that we underestimate what we have in prayer. And so many of us have gone to a place where we say words, but we're not engaged in prayer. We don't trust totally. We don't trust because of how we are now thinking in our world today. We're very logical, and I'll come to that in a moment. But we got to trust God in a way that we truly know that this only depends on God, not on me. How do you explain Steve going in an auditorium full of thousands of people and sitting next to a person who ends up being a neighbor, somebody they went to school with? How do you explain that? And he's been praying, lead me to someone who can actually become a disciple. Who knows what that's going to be? Does that make sense? How do you explain a check that was rejected a year ago coming just when we need mission money? You understand that? How do you explain coming back from 4-0 to winning? Right. See, I ask that question because we tend to say, okay, here's how we do it. That's where we go wrong. How do you explain the leukemia recovery in 3 months before it's ever been done? Trust God. When you pray, trust God. Psalm 119, 113, it says, I hate those with divided loyalties, but I love your instructions. Here's something that we got to get right. When you ask God, you've got to be open to what he's going to say to you. Be open to that fact. The way we think about life, we have this notion that if I ask for gold, I must get gold. What if God gives you platinum? What if he gave you silver? You see, we have to be open that God is at work. Our problem, lack of trust in God, is very much hinged on the thought of, I have to get what I asked for God to answer me. So we're not open to what God is doing. So many of us are miserable and don't pray as we should because we wait for that particular answer. But God is at work. You don't trust. You got to trust him totally. Say, God, you're going to do this for me. There are many things that God is doing for you today. But the question is, are you aware? Even today, God did a lot. Are you aware? So when you pray, you got to trust. You cannot have loyalties. Our loyalties run between God and logical thinking. That is where our loyalties get lost. We pray to God who has everything, but our logical thinking kicks in. And in no time you start with faith, but the logical thinking begins to steal all your faith. And I think that today's curse is logical thinking. Don't get me wrong. I am a logical guy. I like cars, so I like to know how they function. But when it comes down to it, God makes everything work. I mean, just this week, I prayed, God, watch me, and I was driving, and I was a lot on the road on Tuesday. I was moving around, doing different errands, and getting in studies, and doing different things. And I was coming up slowly. Two cars in front of me, there was an accident. And at one point, I wanted to go past those two cars. I would have been the first guy out. For some reason, I said, okay, God, I'll be patient. I'll sit behind you. And so I cannot think that that was my smartness. That was God walking. And we can go on and on and on. The question today is, do you trust God or do you let logic steal your faith? That's your biggest challenge. Your biggest enemy today is logic in trusting God. You explain everything. It's never been done. How will it happen? Well, God doesn't want to do what has been done before because that is not faith. That's just sight. He wants to do stuff he's never done before. But we're stuck in this bubble of logic and we will not rise above it. I think that's the sin of the church today. we become too logical sometimes, and we let that steal our prayer life. So we don't pray as we should, because we don't think it'll function, so we don't ask. Pray to God for wisdom. Let's start with wisdom. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Sometimes we don't ask because we carry a lot of guilt in the system. Issues and issues and issues. And because of that, we think, will even God listen to me? First, prayer is a great opportunity to confess your sins. Amen? If you're feeling things, that's a great place to pour out your heart and confess your sins and let go of that stuff that is getting in the way of your faith and thinking. Does that make sense? And you've got to be very honest, very real with God, and let Him know, I struggle with this, I struggle with that, but I know You can forgive me, and work it out with God. And as you do that, ask Him for wisdom. Now let me talk about this for a moment. Many of us don't ask for God to show us wisdom on how to do this, because we think logically. And I want to explain. Logical people will tell you why, for example, your tire had a flat. You had a flat tire. They'll tell you how that happened and why that's affecting your car, right? That, it's not a bad thing, but it doesn't help the guy that has a flat tire. What the guy that has a flat tire needs is help. He needs a faithful guy who will stop and help them. But in America, we're afraid to stop willy-nilly because you don't know what's going to happen. So you got to be praying about that stuff before you give you help. Does that make sense? Otherwise, fear just takes over and you're going to stop. Even for the most innocent people, you'll never stop for them. You'll make up reasons why I can't. He looks like he has a gun. He looks like he can do this to me. And maybe it's just a young kid that has nothing, that needs help. But we lose it all in logic and never live a faithful life because we are so much caught in our logical thinking. So, wisdom always leads to truth, while intelligence may be used to deceive. Let me explain this a little bit further. When I say you ask God for wisdom, we all are intelligent people, but that's not what God is asking you to ask for. He's asking you to ask for wisdom. When you're intelligent, you have so many reasons why things don't happen. And I think that that's why today the church can sometimes have a sense of not moving, because we're so much in the intelligence thinking, we never let the wisdom from God prevail. We are afraid to reach out because or show our faith, because the logics of it and what that means, we just don't know how to do that. We go into the logics of that. We are afraid to reach out to community, to touch our communities, to be out there because of the logics of how we think. We never let God to show us wisdom on how to do it in today's society, 21st century. It's a different world. Yes, there are crazy people out, but God can show you how to do that. We talk about remaining in the vine this year. How is that going? With these crazy schedules, are you praying? What Steve was sharing today was, yeah, I just decided I'll stop being lazy. I'll start getting up in the morning. I'll pray when I get up. And his life was transformed. So you have to be careful about being this logical fella that gets stuck and never ask God for wisdom on how to do things in a very complicated society. We've got to ask God to show us how to do it. You cannot change this society in your own logical thinking. You've got to ask God to give you wisdom to do that. In other words, it's not anything that's been done before. He will show you how. Then you have to practice it. That's when wisdom begins to kick in. While intelligence just speaks very theoretically, and there's theories and theories about that, but nothing goes beyond that. So I ask you again today, are you held back by your logic of how things should be and not raising yourself to, God, You can do this beyond what I think? We can be afraid because of our logic. I want to put it to you today as a church that I think that's our biggest challenge. We're very logical. We don't pray enough for God to show us wisdom on how to do different things. And that's what we got to understand today. So rely on God. James 1:6. Let's talk about this. When you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Amen? That when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. So, sometimes we ask, but we're trying to think, how will God do it? That's like Steve getting in the car, Steve Coyer in this case, getting in the car and say, I'm not leaving my house until I figure out that there's no traffic on 85. That's not going to happen. He has to trust the GPS and pray and say, God, make sure that this GPS leads me the right direction, even though there's traffic. So you get out and you get in the corners and you just trust that the road will be fine. That's faith right there. Does that make sense? Let's face it. The biggest challenge we face today that we're not getting out of our comfort zone because we want God to provide an insurance that you'll be fine in the course of any accident happening in the way. It doesn't work like that. There's no insurance. The only insurance you have is faith. You know, the other day I was asking myself, how do people live around the world? And I understand. I appreciate everything that America offers and helps people to do things. But I thought to myself, there are times I lived in countries you didn't have to do a physio check every year. How did we do it? Physio check. You didn't go for medical check every year. Physical. You didn't do that every year. How did we do it? It was a lot of faith. And I look back, those guys still exist and say, how do they do it? You know, stuff you take for granted. But I say all that to say that there's a lot that you can have, but you don't realize you can do without. So the challenge of first world living is that that becomes the norm to a point of trapping you to have faith. Because everything is logical. Does that make sense? So, do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Let's talk about this. When you're unsettled, it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, if you've been around an ocean and there's these boats, they anchor on the sides, it's for small boats, and then there's the low tide time, it's gone, it's just sitting there, but when the high tide comes and the waves start coming, if you watch the boat gradually, it drifts right inside if it's not anchored. It can even disappear. But it's a gradual movement of water coming in and out, and before you know it, the boat is gone. When you're divided in your loyalty to God, you drift. You lose the zeal for basic things, for prayer, for getting in the Word of God, so you're not really connected. You lose simple basic stuff as being there for the family group things, small things that can get in the way, and eventually just drift. And you wonder what's happening. You're drifting. It's a gradual process. Really takes you out slowly. I once went out with my friends on the boat, and we were riding. It was this, you pedaled the boat. But I think we overloaded it. And as we were riding, we were trying to come back to where we went. And clearly, the wave was becoming stronger and stronger. And so it was trying to push us down that way. And some of them were okay with that, saying, okay, I guess we can just swim. I said, no way. I don't know how to swim that long. I am going to have to pedal this thing. You bet I was pedaling like a crazy guy. We never got back to our station because of the wave. We went about 300 meters further down. And I thought to myself, how did that happen? The waves were tossing us back and forth. Why were these people not concerned? Because they had a plan B. They could swim. I didn't have that plan B. And I say that because sometimes you're praying, but you have a plan B. God is not your only solution. You've got a plan B somewhere. If God doesn't come through, I'm going to open this door, open that door. You've got to stick with God in these things. And sometimes you may have plan B for some things, but some things in life have no plan B. And they will not change. The only thing that will happen, you'll have to change and begin to trust God even when the circumstance did not change. What happens? Your faith grew. You changed and became a godly person. That's what happened. So sometimes all that's going on is that we got to stop having plan Bs. And just say, God, we're coming with you. We know that you can sort this out. Pray about every little thing. That was a testimony we had this evening. That you can pray about every little thing and God will sort it out for you. But here's the thing, church. When you pray, are you having God as your only faith? That's the question. You see, we have that challenge because in life you always have plans. Plan A, plan B. But sometimes it can all go up. You can invest on a stock exchange and everything blows up at the wrong time. But God will always take care of you. Don't be afraid. Trust God and these things will work out. So don't be tossed about. Another way this happens is that we lack peace a lot in our lives. We're tossed around a lot. We are happy today, we are unhappy tomorrow, we are happy today, we are unhappy tomorrow, we are happy this week, next week. It's okay to lose it once in a while, but if this becomes your life, you got to pray about it and get some peace around this place. Resolve this. Get yourself grounded. And then you begin to see what God is doing. Don't let what God gives you become the source of your peace, but God needs to be the source of peace. Amen? So let's understand that. So James 1:7. Verse 1:7-8 says, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Now, this is serious. I mean, when God says that you don't expect to receive anything, because you're not there. How does he walk with you? You're not consistent. You're there or you're not there. You're doubting. It cannot function. Any growth, anything we're trying to accomplish, we must grow in our faith, in our discipline, and in our consistency. Then you really grow. We've got to be consistent in our prayer lives. Not the same all the time, not the same place all the time, but be consistent. You may not do it all the time kneeling. You may be somewhere else. You may be in another room, but be consistent. But don't be consistently praying in your car saying, I'm praying. I'm not sure if that's going to really carry through. Because you're dodging traffic at the same time. So make sure you get space for yourself as well. Does that make sense? I'm not saying it's wrong to pray in the car. I didn't say that. I'm just saying trying to make it special as you go about it. Does that make sense? So we cannot have divided loyalty. We got to give it all to God. I said, such people should not expect to receive anything. Why? Because they have divided loyalty. Put it this way, and I can use a marriage setup. Do you think my wife would accept if I had a plan B? She'll never take that. She'll be calling all the elders saying, you got to talk to Steve about this plan B story he got going on around here. And it's not going to happen. You cannot have a plan B in marriage, can you? You're not supposed to. Because when you do, it goes terribly wrong, right? The same thing with God. You're not supposed to. When you do, it goes terribly wrong. Stick with God and he'll come through. Does that make sense? Now, here's our problem. We want it at a certain time. Maybe you want it today. I don't know. The Bible simply says two things. Our thinking is not like God's way of thinking. When you want it today, it may come today, or it may come 2 days later or a year later. That can happen. A year later can happen. But trust God. Pray for things and wait on God. Do what you can do and then wait on God. Does that make sense? In other words, don't say, I prayed, so I just sit around. Well, she prayed, but she took her son to the doctor and waited on that. Does that make sense? Do your part, but make sure you're praying as that goes on. The Lord is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. This instability today is caused mainly by our logical thinking. When we become very logical people, we lose faith. Does that make sense? You've got to come to a place where you say, God, you can do this. Never been done before, but it can be done. And you can help me do that. Pray for the small things as well. Packing, whatever. but pray for the big stuff. Some of us don't pray for anything challenging anymore. We don't pray because we don't want to be challenged. It's too much for us to live in expectation. So we don't want to pray about that. We want to live in neutral. There's no such a thing. Any car in neutral will die. It has to be engaged to move forward. So we've got to get over this neutral living and start engaging in our family groups, in one another, in our neighborhood, in our fellowship, in all kinds of places, anything that God can lead you to, get involved, get engaged. Don't sit in the neutral space. It dies out eventually. Let's play this video and then you'll understand what I'm talking about. What stood out for you? The world philosophy versus what, how we live. What stood out for you?
And it,
the first shall be last. That's what stood out for you. Any reason? So she just explained how she's tried to be first in everything and raise her child or her children to be first in everything. But in reality is that you're supposed to be the best you can be that God created you. That's what God really is seeking out for. Because if we did that, we'll just become very toxic with each other. But if you're being your best and I'm happy for you and you're being happy as we all being our best, the environment is amazing. Anything that stood out for you? Being a peacemaker.
I think for me, it's just how counterculture it is. Like everything was basically the opposite. And how if I want to be a disciple, it goes against everything that I've grown up knowing and what I think is logical.
Right. Everything is counterculture, yet that runs our life very quietly from behind our ears. We're not paying attention, but those philosophies run our lives. We're not aware that they're really at war with our spiritual world. But today I'm trying to bring that to the forefront so that you see that everything is at play. You think I'm not sinning in any area, but this is at play. This is the idol of today. It's how we think. Anybody else? Yes. We should fight for our rights. It's how you do it. There's a godly way of doing it and a worldly way of doing it. Yes.
I think the biggest thing that we were having a hard time. And so often with our children, we say,
Right, right. Yes. And the truth is that scientific study now shows that people that give of themselves more are the happiest. People that hoard and hoard and hoard end up very unhappy. So why are we doing everything that's wrong? And yet we allow that to manage our subconscious so strong that we find, why do I go to church and I'm not as happy as I should? What's going on? The world is still running you even though you come here. The world is still running you quietly. Back there it's trying to control because you're logically running with that and not what God says. There was some hand going somewhere. Yes.
The one that stuck out to me was speak your mind, but it says speak the truth in love. And sometimes I tend not to say what I'm thinking and feeling, or and if I do, it comes out kind of blunt. So it's a challenge no matter how you look at it, but speaking the truth in love is
fine. So being a Christian is not stuffing everything. You got to talk about it with truth and love. But sometimes if we don't talk about it, it's going to come out very blunt when it comes out eventually. Because you're tired. Here it comes. Poop. I've done it. She's not the only one that's done that. We all do that sometimes. We are like, enough. But if we're doing it properly again and again, then we'll tell the truth with love. Amen? But if we don't do that, so all this information is to challenge how we're running our lives. Anybody else? What stood out for you? Yes. Exactly. The number one source of insecurity today is how people look. You know, if they showed you the bill of what they do to put those people in their magazines, you'll be shocked at how much money they spend to make them look like that. If those people came here without makeup, they just look like you and I. But you believe everything you see on the magazines and all that stuff, and now we're all having insecurity issues. Well, you're creating the image of God. You know, you need to be healthy, but don't be possessed, so preoccupied to look like someone you saw in the magazine picture somewhere. And this is both ways for both men and women. Men, you go look at the guy in the muscles, and you're like, yeah, maybe I can get it. I don't want to get it. You do two things. But deep down is, yeah, you know, you're thinking about it. Women, we're always thinking about, how do I look? How do I look? Should I look like the way I was 16? Should I look as the way? Well, be healthy. You create an image of God. It's a big thing. I'll not be accepted. You don't have to be accepted by everyone. You need to be accepted by God. And if you do, godly people will accept you. Does that make sense? So we got to understand these things because they're really playing in our lives as Christians and we're not addressing them. And we pray, but we're not dealing with the real issues that we got a logical culture in our mindset, in our attitude that is getting in the way of God walking with us today. So we come to church and say, why am I not effective? Let us check deep down what's driving you. Is it God or these thoughts that I put up there? Because they're out there. I catch myself doing that stuff sometimes. I'm like, the way I'm thinking is very logical. What about faith? I mean, I had to run in with one somebody this week. I was trying to find out why they were charging me a certain amount of money. And they explained to me, and so I asked them, what should I do to try and work that out? She said, just write a letter. And I did that pretty good. I was so grateful because normally I'd be saying, hold on, you guys are trying to rip me off. And I said, I discussed this in a very godly way. I think I can call that person and say, would you like to come to church and not feel ashamed? Make sense?
Yep. Amen.
We've got to figure these things out. They're actually playing in our lives. We've got to let go of that stuff and let God lead us. What sin is getting in the way of your prayers? Let's talk about this. Okay? By the way, it's important we talk about these things clearly and openly. Does that make sense? And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful action, And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Amen? Okay, so what sin is getting in the way? What I just described is idol, the idolism of the world. We idolize things. That is a part of a sin that gets in the way. And the way we're socialized spiritually, if I'm not being immoral, if I'm not lusting, if I'm not doing all this stuff, maybe that's not too bad. But idolism can just stick there, and you don't realize that that really is staying in the way of God. So we've got to start dealing with idols in our lives so that we can really give our lives to God. Amen? That there's nothing bigger than God in your life. What is that? Is it comfort? Is it money? Is it looks? What is that that gets in the way? What about rejection? You're afraid of rejection, that you can never tell anyone about God. That can be holding you back. What sins are getting in your way? Can I talk about another sin that we all have? Prejudice. That's a prevalent sin. But I can look at her and make up my mind, and I've never met her before, and I just judge you for just seeing your glasses. I'll call you a ward for seeing, I'll try to put you in a box for just having you seeing your glasses, and I've never met you before. You must be that. So there's nothing to talk about there. She must be this. He must be this. What do you do? An accountant? Oh my goodness, here we go. We judge and we're very prejudicial. And I want to challenge us as a church today that maybe you carry that sin. You walk around prejudicial to a point where you've become comfortable with it. It doesn't even bother you anymore. And God doesn't treat us like that. He loves people equally. That gets in the way of prayer. So you're praying to meet someone that you can share faith. Sometimes God is bringing people that don't look like you. Are you going to talk to them? That was quite quiet. I'm on something. Are you going to talk to them? That's our scene. Sometimes, let's face it, our sin is to point out what's wrong, but we do nothing to help. In other words, we sit on the judgment. If you sit on the law, you just judge, judge, judge. But what are you going to do to help? What are you going to do to help? For the church to transform, this is the body of Christ. I've said this before. If you ask for the church, we are the church. Amen? I'm not the church. All of us are the church. You want to help? Get busy getting involved in your family group and changing whatever you don't like. But there's a caveat to that. Don't change it to look like you. It needs to look like God's way, not your way. Amen? Don't get involved to make it look like you. It needs to reflect God's heart. Does that make sense? How about that? Those are our sins. You know, you may be a grumbler. You talk negatively a lot. What's not going right? What's not good in your life? You just grumble all the time. If you're the kind of a negative charge, if I sit with you, if my battery was 100%, by the time I leave, I'm on 20%, I'm like, oh my goodness, we got to go and get a recharge from the scriptures again. What kind of a person are you? If I come to your house, what environment we have is just negative, negative, negative. What do you carry? Do people come around you like, wow, that's great? Or do you grumble? No matter what happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Don't grumble and grumble and grumble, whether with your spouse, with your children, with your future, with your present. Figure solutions. God wants you to see, what am I doing? Even in that problem set up, God is doing something. Does that make sense? Sometimes we just grumble about everything. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to say I'm feeling pain here and pain there. That's not an issue. I'm just saying, but you cannot get in the habit of just grumbling. It's a sinful way of living. You've got to see what God is doing in your life. Does that make sense? What thoughts do you have? Philippians 4:8. What sins are in your place? This all comes from our desires. Our desires drive all these sins. We think that God is, that this person did, that person just illuminated what is inside you. And that's true with lust. We say, it's how they're dressed. I say, well, you have a choice to look at them or not look at them. There are many things we have to look at and say we got to change that. Here's what I'm saying. Many a times we're hoping that the other person changes for you to do a better job as a Christian. I say to you that if I repent and you repent, the whole place gets a better place. So you just have to repent your part, play your part, and God's going to walk with that. Does that make sense? Figure that out. Play your part. You repent on your side. Don't wait on the other person to repent. You repent and God will take care of the other side. Does that make sense? We do that, amazing things happen in the body of Christ. But we sit around putting each other down with all these sins. God doesn't walk well with that kind of life. And I think as Christians, we tend to look at the sins of commission. What about omission? The other things that we know we should do, serving the poor and all that stuff. We got to get there as well and love them and get involved in this stuff. And God's name will be glorified. It says in finishing, so don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes our cast and he never changes or casts us shifting shadow. Let me end here by explaining that I think sometimes you read that such a scripture and then you think in a very humanistic sense. It says everything good, that means bad things should not happen. I'll tell you a story I read in, I think Viktor Frankl wrote about this. He said there was a kid that was, he was talking with his daughter. And the daughter was saying, God, asking him, why am I sick? And he reminded the daughter and said, well, don't ask why you're sick. You need to be thankful that he provided medicine for you to get well. And she went back and said, but I want to remind you that God also allowed me to have the disease. And that got him thinking to say, wow. So even in the disease, God was walking and eventually provided medicine to heal that child. What's my point? My point is that even in bad things, God is at work. So when we say good things, sometimes we're thinking, so that means I'm never supposed to have any problem. Oh no, you can have some problems. And God still has to work with that. In fact, we grow most in those difficult situations. So if we're just waiting for the good stuff, no, even in bad stuff, you grow a lot. And so in that story, you see that the child was beginning to understand that God gave both medicine and allowed the disease to come through. What's my point? Don't get disillusioned just because your life has been tough for the last 10, 100, 200 years. Now, I know nobody's got 200 years, but it may feel like that. May feel like that with stuff. What you got to do is ask yourself, what is God leading me to right now in this situation? Amen? So today, I just want to ask you today, if you have things that are on your chest, you need to let go of that stuff. Find someone to talk through that stuff, and get praying and trust God to work that out. Someone you trust that can help you out. Not one that will say, I'll pray for you and leave you alone. Someone that can help you come out of it. Does that make sense? Someone that can hold you accountable and gingerly get you to a place where you're really getting healthy and growing. They'll tell you the truth in love. Not like it is in love. Amen? God bless you. Have a great time of prayer.